Hi everybody, I just finished my talk, so now I'll give it. I'm presenting the Google Summer of Code project that I'm doing this summer, which is to rewrite the Rabbit framework in JavaScript. And I'll explain what that all means now. Well, in the first, talk about translations, which is one of the things the Rabbit script does. So, yeah, it's marginally related to what I'm talking about. So, just bear with me for a minute. Okay. So what is the Rabbit framework, as we call it? It's not building. It's separate from that. It's not the pilot framework. It's not the tools framework. It's something that's connected to all of them at a pretty low level of package source. It's pretty fundamental to how we do things in our uniquely package source way. When are the wrappers used? All the time during package build. Pretty much every compile, every link. It's just everything goes through wrapper script so that we can track what's going on and log it and modify it. Over and over, repeatedly, on multiple occasions, etc. A lot. What are the wrappers for? They're for you, dear user of package source, and you as well, package service developer. But seriously, it's to provide an abstraction layer between an individual package and the specific build environment on the system where the build is taking place. We use that to control aspects of the build process and to take the all the worlds of an i386 Linux application and give it a chance to build in other situations as well, even if it shouldn't. And via all of this, we hide a lot of complexity portability of packaging across multiple platforms. And since that's our main claim to fame as a packaging system, this is a really key component of package. And because all the complexity is in this layer, as much as we can get it to be, it simplifies the process of actually making a single package for the average package source developer. There's a lot they don't have to worry about, for the most part, because of what happens here. And I would just like to point out, in the spirit of Al's talk yesterday, that as far as I'm aware, nobody else does anything like this in a package system. And it's not the only piece of our infrastructure that is unique to even be trying to solve this kind of a problem. And I think that's great. Be committed. So, how do they work? Very good questions. Really good questions. I would love to be able to answer them for you. Let's give it a shot. Both the design and the implementation of the wrappers as they currently are both pretty complicated. And there are good historical reasons for that. Because it was such a new idea in the packaging system, we didn't really know when it was being developed, how great it would be, how many ways we decided that it would turn out to be a good trick in a various ways. So it just kind of grew organically as we realized, hey, we can also solve that kind of matters, and so on and so forth. And also, we didn't realize how performance sensitive it would be because it occurs everywhere. And so the initial choice of implementation language was not as informative as we are now. So the requirements, as so often happens with real-world software, change a lot of the time. And now we're in a situation where we need to do something about it. Even Johnny, I asked him about it. He doesn't really remember a lot about how it works anymore. It's a little bit of a concern. And so now we have two new requirements. Talking about requirements changing over time. Two new ones that are really big, and that's why there's a project. And here's a link to it for when the slides are online for you. First, maintainability, so that even if you're not the primary author and you don't have to remember how it's supposed to work, you can figure it out by looking at it, ideally, and you can change things with confidence. And you can be sure that you haven't broken the wrappers for everybody and get yelled at and be really sad and maybe put an NDSC and be really good. I've never heard of that happening in real life, but it could happen. And then requirement number two is performance, and that's a big deal because, like I said, everywhere, all the time, lots. So any tiny performance improvement or whatever pays off over and over and over and over again. So for maintainability, the first of the two goals for my project, right now it's kind of an issue to read through and make sense of what we're looking at because it's a mixture of languages doing a mixture of things glued together in a typical ad hoc package source way. It's not easy to read individual sections, let alone piece it all together in your mind and see how it's working as a big picture. There are many subtle behaviors in addition to transformations that are done that are not well documented at all. And that would be fine maybe if Johnny still had lots of time and remember how he designed it, but that's not the case. And even if it were, that would be a bus number of one for the rabbit framework. Is everybody familiar with that term? Okay.
Run by a bus.
Yeah, one person can get hit by a bus and then they don't have anything for it at all. Exactly. So, oh yeah, and because of all the situation, changing any behavior in our scripts is dangerous. You can do a bulk build and find out what's wrong, but then you have to figure out what you did wrong from very far away rather than from close up. And then the second major goal of my support code project is performance. Just like with the previous point, fallout from that, there's a whole lot of forking, not really under control. And even if you're on a system where forking is fast, if you do a billion of them, it still winds up being slow. And so even on a fast platform, it's slow. If you're on a slow platform, such as a supercomputer running a dumb operating system, it's still slow. And then if you're interactively building a package, it's slower than it would be if you're building it without package source by a measurable amount. And if you're doing a bulk build, then you're talking about maybe a day or two. So this is what I'm proposing. First, I will read through the existing thicket code and figure out which transformations are being performed, under which conditions, like which platform, which environment, so on and so forth. Any other behaviors that ActiveScripts may have in addition to transformations. And once I've got those figured out, document them, but not in English per se, but rather in the form of automated tests. And for that, we actually have the result of a summer code project from last summer, which I will almost certainly be using, which is Julio's ATF, also in Badger Server. Once I had the automated tests, which describe how the current wrappers work, hopefully at a fairly complete level, then I will write the new wrappers and see, in good taste, I hope, until the tests pass, which means that it works as well as we understand the old one to work. At that point, then I can try doing the full bulk build, for instance, with the new wrappers rather than the old ones, and see how that works out. And obviously, it would be beneficial to do NetBSD and then some degree platform like Solaris, for instance, just to get an idea that maybe not all the platform kinks are ironed out, but it's not impossible to find and fix them. Measure how well things are working and how quickly they're working before and after. And then once people are satisfied that it's really a good replacement, then get rid of the old stuff and make the new the default. So that's my approach for the summer. And this is how it would pay off. First, both users and developers can build packages faster and more reliably, faster because ideally there would be a performance improvement, more reliably, a little bit indirect. We'll have just because we'll have automated tests that describe the behavior of the wrappers, I'm sure along the way we're going to discover ways that they don't work right. And there may be some time to improve that situation so that the wrappers are more precise about which transformations they do in which situations. Because building is faster, update packages to the versions will be faster possible, especially KDE. And then bulk builds will run faster, it'll be done sooner, we can get a faster turnaround on those. That'll help with things like freezes for stable branches or just general development purposes. And then in the long term, for maintenance of the wrappers themselves, anybody, including me, because I'm forgetful and I'm not going to remember what I did 6 months from now, can look at the automatic test to see how things are supposed to work. Just at a glance, it shouldn't even take long. We'll see a very small function name that describes what it does. It'll have an input, it'll have an expected output, and you just get a quick idea of what's supposed to be happening when. And then, as opposed to now, you should actually be able to read through the code and get an idea of what's happening. And that will be improved as well. And the result of these two combined is that anyone, not just me, or even me when I'm 6 months in the future and forgetful, can go back to the wrappers if we need to change how they work and make a change, run tests, and you'll have a pretty good idea if you broke something right now, even before you do a bulk build. You get very, very quick feedback on things that you can make. And since everything will be faster over and over and over and over again, then we may compute infinity a little faster. So, since I'm at the very beginning of this project, I have some open questions, and I thought I would raise them and see what kind of feedback I can get. First, is ATF usable for this purpose? And I haven't looked at it yet, but I know that it has shell bindings and C bindings, and that sounds very well. Should the next generation wrappers be a regular package? I think so. I haven't thought about it a lot, but I think so. I think Pvolk demonstrates that that's a useful approach. Yeah.
To answer the question, I had a long discussion with Johnny about this topic a long time ago, and there's one good reason to make it a package. That's you avoid having to compile the wrappers themselves all the time.
Yes.
There's one interesting question you have to answer if you want to make it a package, and that's how you bootstrap.
That is coming up on the very list.
Especially how you fix a bug in wrappers if you wouldn't be able to build wrappers because of the bug.
The wrappers probably would not use themselves to build themselves.
Actually, I don't think the wrappers have to are recognized, we can write the plot on the app so we don't need the wrappers to compile.
I also think it's reasonable to assume that this package install can be compiled without the wrappers as well, and thereby the cookie problem of bootstrapping mostly goes away. But it's something to keep in mind.
Another question, as long as we're talking about bootstrapping, this is a couple more bullet points down here. But if we have the wrappers, it's in the bootstrap kit. We could even build the bootstrap packages with the wrappers if we had it going on. It's probably beyond the scope of the summary of code, but we could potentially use a wrapper package to that end. Yeah.
Subject to bootstrap, I've always wanted to see a distinction between packages built with bootstrap environment and packages built with a package source environment. And if we're having more stuff on package source, which depends on a C compiler, for example, then in those situations where your bootstrap C compiler is different from your package source C compiler, it would be really great to have something like that. So
you talk about, say, Solaris for your bootstrap, or Sun Freeware, and then use package source for CC later.
Yeah, I think it would be really great if we're having more of these things, which dependency, to be able to do a set of a build of the same package with the bootstrap environment and the bootstrapped environment.
I think it may.
Apparently, bootstrap programs are different. Once they're linked into the staging directory, so we have the tools, and then we use these tools in the package source framework within the packages that are getting installed. So you should simply switch compilers between these two stages, and then you have the package install packages compiled to get the command.
Right.
Actually, it's simpler if workers are written in normal C without all the bells and whistles of needing a proper shell, needing a proper org, and so on. It gets much easier to integrate this into the bootstrap, and might actually mean that you can reduce the dependency, for example, on org quite a bit.
Or maybe
so,
the corn channel is just important.
I still think we want that.
We need that to run the shared scripts in the packages themselves.
But basically, bootstrapping should not be the major issue because both the PKSH and NBORG or whatever version of org we have and all the other side package install can just use the worker package as dependency. And we need package install to be compilable standalone already because it's the first thing we build essentially after make. And those two are the only things that don't have to deal with wrappers, or better, they have to work standalone, and that's reasonable.
Yeah, I think there will be ways. Once the summer of code period has ended, to improve the way that wrappers are integrated into the bootstrap process. I'm almost certain not going to have time for it during the summer, and it's beyond the scope of the project itself.
Yes.
But there are plenty of things we could do with it when the time is right. Christopher.
About the kind of syntax and the
My intent is to replicate the current behavior and set where the object was, and maybe even replicate the bugs for the summer. Just get us to the point where we can change the behavior later, easily. But for now, just a replacement.
There's at least one piece of behavior I would strongly urge you to drop, and don't even try to implement it. That's reorder logic and some of the logic tries to eliminate redundancy.
For linear lines?
Yes. That's a canonical example. So basically, it's okay to say if you have two library references that are consecutive to drop one once first. That's okay. What's not okay, what the framework is currently doing is reordering arguments. Because that is actually creating a lot more issues than it fixes. For example, the power package on macOS X had issues because some explicit references to dynamic libraries were ordered differently to the normal link lines. And the behavior broke the system pretty badly. NetSMP have also had some issues with that. So don't do that.
I'll keep that in mind. I really can't say until I'm at that point of the project what I'll do, but the general approach will be to replicate the behavior, except if it's really obviously wrong and easier not to, then maybe I'll skip it. Right, so one side benefit of having wrappers as a package is that we already have something called test coverage where you can expect to run tests on something. And it would work just the same way, it would just happen to be a little more important with the test pass and for some other benefit. Just a reminder, because this is a complete rewrite in a different language, that portability is paramount. We have to run on all the platforms we have now and hopefully without any changes in the future.
Actually, I hope this will make fixing some portability issues simpler than it currently is. For example, on AIX you have the problem that the linker is not transitive. So it can do shared libraries, but shared libraries are not transitive in the way they work.
So you have to specify all the dependencies.
Yes, and you can't really force lib to use it everywhere, so you have to at least you need some ad hoc support, for example, for X11 packages to automatically adds this closure, which is not that difficult to do, but at the moment I don't want to touch this in the wrapper framework because the code is insane.
Well, one easy way to get a Bay editor, it's not too precise, but it's not too hard to do, is just to do a make hash and then time build directly from the work directory versus a make from the package source. And there is a significant difference both in the bigger problem and what's the, I don't know the percentage handy, but I did try that in the business. So, and most of that will be writers, and there's other stuff that happens too. Right. This is almost certainly going to be an issue involving the automated testing that I have in mind to do. That because there is not a cleanly defined interface between these different components, there will be hidden connections between them that will probably make testing more challenging. In the short term, that will annoy me as I'm developing, but in the long term, that will improve the interfaces between these components. And that will be better for everybody. So you're welcome for dealing with that. It's a little bit off the screen, but I think when people see me actually doing something useful, they may need medical assistance. So that's an open question, how we can help them in our case from over the internet. Feedback, please. Anything that I should be thinking about that we didn't already mention? Any phase of the development? Any part of the development process?
The specification of the transformations, obviously, throughout the build the whole package. Of the transformations to perform, do you intend to cache them in any way, or do you repass them in any information?
If it's easy enough to and send test back, then I do
it. It's mainly a performance issue.
That was one of the questions of whether it might be a better idea to compile the wrappers for each package. Because in that case, you can basically hardwire all the configuration into the wrapper binary. But my gut feeling is it doesn't matter, most likely, because the overhead of reading a configuration file and parsing is most likely already an order of magnitude smaller than the overhead of a fork.
Yeah.
We still have at least one additional fork in the past, but it shouldn't be that bad now. And something to keep in mind, even compiling a simple program is doing a ridiculous...
No, it doesn't
re-compile.
No, I think that's worthwhile, except maybe for very large packages.
No, I mean, what are we actually wrapping? We are wrapping something like GCC. GCC is doing a tremendous amount of parsing even for very simple files. So,
yes, still,
compared to that, it's most likely noise if you pass a small configuration file with a transformation.
Well, you pass like a few hundred times?
You do it per GCC invocation.
Yeah, still. You still get the amount of the time spent in parsing added to your output.
I'm not close to the idea at all, but I'm looking for the laziest thing I can do first, and then we can be more optimistic. It could be a good idea.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
So in the end, are you just going to write another set?
I hope not. I think this will be more domain specific, and unlike SAG, you can rely on behaving the same way. But there's more to what's going on than just transformation.
And did you think about the bootstrap issue too? I mean, for me, this is probably one of the toughest issues. How to solve that?
Well, the naive answer is if it's a package, then, I mean, does the second stage of Bootstrap currently go through the wrappers like anything else would?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that would be a regression if we didn't.
Also,
but that's not a problem. Given the wrappers in the first stage, we have to use the wrappers.
Right. That's the naive answer. Right?
Yeah.
I would just do that to begin with, see how it works.
Okay, we just have to make sure it's working on platforms that rely on the wrappers to exist to really compile certain code.
Yeah.
I will be developing on Leopard, so Bootstrap will get some extra setup.
And an evil solution is to keep the old wrappers. If this is a drop-in replacement, you can
no. Absolutely.
But that's really hard to maintain on the long run.
That's impossible to maintain.
The idea is that we get to the point where we're satisfied that the test suite we have is complete, and then if both wrappers pass,
if you both drop in these wrappers, you can have similar wrappers in a shell script.
I would be afraid of that.
No.
That's
an intense nightmare. As these wrappers develop, we would have to implement all the functionality in the shellcode.
All the ones needed to bootstrap this package.
I mean,
actually, I don't think wrappers are needed at all to bootstrap this package.
I mean, if it is a problem.
If you want to make ours, then a way to hear. I mean, it wouldn't be worse than now, actually, because we would have a specification to write a shell script too.
What you can actually do and should consider when the time comes is to just say for some packages like package installs of the wrapper package itself, we just define null wrappers that do nothing but just provide the same interface. So basically, you don't have to change anything in the MK framework. You just let it do all the same magic it would normally do, but you don't call the actual wrapper package, but some fake shell script.
The problem is if on a particular platform you need certain functionality, say, to deal with the compiler or, I don't know.
Fix a few special packages in that case.
Okay.
Like I said, you need to deal with a problem in them already anyway to get the bootstrap started.
That's
so.
True. It's just a few extra packages that
yes.
We dealt with.
It wouldn't be the first strange portability issue we have
no.
to
no.
package in style.
I just want to point out that you might run into these additional
yes.
issues.
Yeah. I would be running into them as I develop this, so that helps. Any other?
Your parents are very smart.
Yeah, I think they learned that by not knowing right the first time. But ironically enough, I'm saying let's get the wrappers right the first second time, rather than the second time. And that's why I'm looking for feedback as I start the project, and as I'm doing it as well. And finally, in my usual schmarrn style, this dumb joke. That's it, thank you.